Nothing, nothing's worth your peace of mind. No matter what they say.
We'll be back next week. This week, we have a band called Burning Tree. If you haven't heard of Burning Tree, you should. Gentlemen, introduce yourselves if you would.
I'm Mike. I play bass for Burning Tree, and I'm also the primary songwriter.
Yeah, right. Yeah. I'm Dave. I'm the singer and technically lead guitarist, I guess.
Technically.
I'm Frank. I play the drums and don't sing anymore.
I'm Mark, and I only play guitar.
And all the some of the parts, right?
And we are Burning Tree.
Burning Tree.
We are Burning Tree.
Where did you fellas? Are you? You is everybody from St. Pete? I know the sort of the, you know, the band is listed as being from St. Pete.
Yeah, we're all from St. Pete.
Pretty much technically.
We've all moved. I mean, Mark's lived in California. You know, we've all had our stints out of St. Pete, but we came back.
St. Petersburg's always been home for us.
Mm-hmm.
Is anything like, you know, I always say I'm from Kings Mountain, North Carolina, so I say that I have escaped and they find me and bring me back. They haven't found me here yet.
Yeah.
So,
well,
no,
we love it here. This is always going to be home. We've been all over the place now, and
we always come back.
Yeah, I always end up wanting to come back.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, there's so much here. I mean, it's a beautiful place.
Oh, it is. You don't realize what you've got until you really get out and see some more of the world, that how great St. Pete really is.
Oh, exactly.
Oh, that's why it burns me when people tell me how much they hate Florida.
Yeah,
it's like, man, go to New Jersey. Sorry, anybody out there from New Jersey. You guys are probably cool, but your state sucks. Right? That is a big deal.
There's a lot of cool people in Jersey.
There are a lot of cool people in Jersey, oddly enough, considering where it is and state of that state of New Jersey.
Yeah. My impression of Jersey has always been like the whole state is one big toll booth.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, we've lost industry like $40 on that.
Was that Philadelphia or Jersey?
That was Jersey,
that
man.
It was Nyack, New York into New York City was no. $14.
No, I'm talking about the Easy Pass.
Was that like was Jersey. $60?
Yeah, we ended up paying $40 in tolls because we got on an Easy Pass only on-ramp. And when we got to the toll, they said, well, we don't know how long you've been on the roads. So we don't know what to charge you. So they charge us like $36 for our van and trailer.
I forgot about
one
that.
Mile.
It's brutal. For 1 mile on the
Jersey Turnpike.
Yeah, I used to drive a truck, so I can tell you. I don't know how they pay the tolls up here. No, I've come through just on like 15, 20 miles on the turnpike and wound up paying like almost $200 in tolls.
Wow. Yeah.
Wow.
That's a lot of axles.
Yeah, oh, yeah. True. They count it by the axles, and you know, it's ka-ching, 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 ka-ching.
Mm-hmm.
Insane.
Yeah. Well, how long you guys have been together since, was it 2004, 2005?
2005, I think.
Yeah, actually 2004, I'm pretty sure.
The story is a little more tedious than that, though. Yeah. I mean, Burning Tree's been around since, I think, 2004. Prior to that, we were another band. Yep. It was me on bass and Frank playing drums. David played trumpet on that old project. And when that collapsed, we kind of formed a new group, and Dave's like, yo, I can sing, and we're like, okay, well, let's do it then. You sing, and you play guitar, and we'll do our thing. And we did that for a little while and brought on a new guitar player who left the group about 2 years ago, 2.5 years ago, and we picked up Mark after that. And that's kind of where we're at right now.
So. Yeah.
Cadillacing ever since.
Yeah, so, I mean, the three of us here, the, you know, remaining original members of the band. That sounds weird to say it that way because three out of four of us are original. But,
we're all
I mean, we've been playing music
way.
Together for like 10 years, so...
I've been jamming bass and drums with me and Frank for 11 years now.
For 11 years between those two, so it's a lot of chemistry, a lot of history.
When I moved back from California, Frank was the new manager at my old job. And one day he told me he needed a new guitar player, asked if I wanted to come try out for him, and so I did, and then bam.
Before you tried out, we had... one of the worst guitar players I've ever met try out for our band.
Yeah.
And well, he was a bad guitar player, but he was just like a goofy person too. Like, it's like, I mean, that guy could have came in there and shredded like virtuoso and I'd been like, I can't hang out with your goofy ass, man. I'm sorry. But
personalities are tough. There's always big personalities when it comes to music. That's why a lot of bands don't stay together.
Oh, yeah. It either works or it doesn't.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've played with guys who were just incredible and I couldn't stand to be around them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I think we've all met those guys that think they're the,
well, they know they're incredible.
Well, yeah,
that's
they know
the
they're
problem.
Good. Yeah. Well, I'm curious about. I was reading your info. I'm curious about that you guys had put together an album that never really got out.
Well, basically, what had happened is we recorded enough music for a full length album, minus a few touches here and there, and then the former guitarist left the band, and we basically took a step back, reorganized, brought him up to speed, and instead of releasing a full album, released an EP of just. Six songs. Just to kind of get our names out there, we're working on getting together another release here sometime in the near future.
So is Press of Heat a full length album?
It's an EP. It's six
EP,
songs.
Six songs.
The
reason I ask is I've gotten bits and pieces of the songs, but I haven't nobody gave me a disc.
Right. Yeah, it's six tracks, five originals, and our rendition of a Bob Marley song. But yeah, that was it for our first release. We wanted to build some interest in the band before we released a full-length album because it doesn't make sense to go and spend a ton of money and try and promote a full-length album. Nobody knows who you are when you release
it.
It's not going to go anywhere. So we're kind of in the building process right now.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, you've got to keep the momentum going.
Definitely.
Right.
It's amazing, really, when you talk to a lot of musicians, they don't realize that it's not just a matter of, you don't just build it and they come. There's a lot of work involved.
Exactly.
There's so much work in the back office of Burning Tree. I mean, it's funny because as a kid you get into it and you have this ideal of, I'm just going to play music, be a rock star, and then you get into the heat of it, and it's, I mean, it's not that much different than any other office or clerical job, really. I mean, you got to do all your stuff and fill out your paperwork, stamp forms, tie your cues, cross your eyes.
It's a full-time job.
So. Yeah, it's amazing. Job. Everybody thinks that all you do is hang out and drink beer and make music.
So for us, I guess
that's a pretty serious perk.
For us, it's party in the front and business in the back, I guess. That sounds really bad. let's scratch the business in the back part.
Sounds like a slogan for a bar.
Or a strip club.
The mullet bar.
So where you all you guys are from St. Pete.
Correct.
Yeah. Are you getting a lot of attention outside of St. Pete, or you think, or is it just local so far?
Here and there. It's all word of mouth, man.
Yeah, it's, I mean, that's the way most bands are doing it nowadays. It's, you get one person here, one person there, and with the way social networking and everything is, it's kind of a domino effect. So you just got to plant seeds.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
We've planted seeds all over the country, well, all over
the eastern part of the United States.
And each, you know, each one of those people, one person likes your music, and then three of their friends like it, and three of their friends, so.
And so on.
But, our
fan base is concentrated in this area because this is our stomping grounds, but we've got, you know, we've got people listening to us all over the world.
That's the great amazing thing about the internet.
I
saw a video from Henry Rollins the other day where he's talking about the state of the music industry.
Right.
About how that it basically the do-it-yourself sort of punk ethos has been revived.
Mm-hmm. It has.
Basically because of the internet.
That's, you know, that's the only way for musicians to make any money nowadays is to basically organize everything yourself and outsource all the jobs that need to be done to make you successful. I mean, as if you sign that big record contract, you're not going to make any money. You're just going to end up ditched on the side of the highway somewhere eventually.
They'll squeeze what they can out of you and then kick you to the curb.
Exactly.
Right on the next one.
That's why you got to fight for everything, you know?
Yeah. I think if you want to be like a superstar, you almost have to go through the corporate record labels.
To be a superstar, you have to learn how to say the word yes a lot.
Yeah.
But if you, want a long, fruitful career, do it yourself.
And meaningful, too. I don't want to be a product. I want to be a musician.
Look at the Eagles. They've never had a problem sticking their middle finger right into the record label's face and telling them what's up. You know, I always respect them for that. Not a big fan of their music. Sorry, guys. You guys are cool and all. If you're out there listening to internet radio, I doubt you are.
You never know.
You never know. That's the beauty of the internet. But I have a feeling Don Henley's got his own private island right now where he's just sitting back,
drinking
sipping Mai Tais. It's like, from the
Eagles,
man.
You never know. I think that there are, like, two major bands, formerly major bands, that are now have singers that came from the internet.
Yeah.
You know, Journey found their new singer. Literally, Neil Young stumbled across a video of this guy doing a Journey song.
No kidding.
Wow. Gave him a call.
Yeah.
And I'm sure the guy thought it was a joke. Yeah, but I'm just saying that there's the power of the internet. I mean, you can go literally overnight if for some reason something takes off and people get a hold of it.
Hey, look at Jay to the Biebs, man, Justin Bieber. He blew up using YouTube, right?
That's like, my idol.
I wish he would blow up.
I wish he would blow up, too.
So I guess there's no point
No offense, Justin Bieber.
You can direct your hate mail to me.
Yeah. Sorry, Justin Bieber.
He's only an influence in, like, our wardrobe and stuff.
Oh, yeah. No. That's
Maybe
you.
Just kidding.
No. So you guys, I hear a lot of different, you know, we were sort of talking about influences.
Right.
Okay. I hear a lot of different influences in your music. Like, I know that you sort of talk about yourselves as a reggae band.
Right.
And I can certainly hear that.
Right.
But I hear so many other things in there, too.
Well, you know, I mean, we like to think of it as, I like to think of it as rock music with reggae undertones, mm-hmm. but, you know, it's always got that reggae element to it, but it's definitely rock music to me. And we all listen to all different kinds of music. You know, some of us aren't even that into reggae. Mike is definitely not into reggae that much.
Not really, no.
But we listen to everything, metal, punk, jazz, ska, I mean, classical, metal, you name it. We all listen to all different kinds of music, and we all bring a little something different to the table.
You can hear it. You can hear it in your music. That's one of the things I love about your music so much, is that you hear all these different elements.
I think most of that is the evolution of the band, or at least the players in the band, because... I mean, I've been playing in the same band as Frank for 11 years. Prior to that, we both had separate bands. We were kind of like doing the ska thing in the 90s. We played shows together, so we had that ska influence to start off with. And then we kind of got our two bands together after some members dropped off. And we kind of started to blend a reggae influence. And this is, I mean, before reggae was too popular. You know,
right, it's
all
blowing
over the
up
place
now. And like the college scene, there's so many... white boy reggae bands, they call them.
But I think we had the opportunity to kind of grow through a few different, I mean, subtle genres, but still we did develop and grow. So we didn't just say, we're a reggae band, let's look what reggae's doing right now. We had 11 years to pedal through this and just kind of develop a sound.
We just make what sounds good to us.
Yeah. Yeah. It's got to sound like a Burning Tree song.
So there was no conscious choice, you just let it go organically.
Exactly.
I mean, you know... I mean, sometimes when you think, well, we should write some new songs, you have something in mind when you set to writing a song. Like, I want to add something like this to our repertoire, whatever you want to call it, repertoire. I want to take our catalog of songs in this direction. I think we need more of this or more of that. So there's some general ideas here and there, But for the most part, it's pretty organic, just whatever goes, whatever sounds good.
I'd like to touch on that too, though, because I think it's another cool aspect of the group. When Dave writes a song, he does. He has like a set idea. But I mean, I can't speak for Mark or Frank, but I know when I come up with like the roots, the basement of a song, a chord progression, a hook, it's almost always like just what I was kind of doing that day, playing guitar, like, oh, this sound kind of cool. And maybe over the course of 2 hours, as I kind of pick through it, I have an amalgamated song. And it might be that I was listening to a lot of punk rock that day, so the song's fast. Or, I mean, for me, it's just kind of like, you know, how do you know when your spaghetti's done? You throw it on the wall and you see what sticks.
Oh, yeah.
I'm very similar, just kind of play guitar all day long and get a song out of the day. And like, wow, right. That was the coolest parts of everything that I did. Let's pitch that.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, do you ever have instances where, I know with me, a lot of times, you'll start out with a great hook or something. You know, an amazing hook or something. And you're mm-hmm. thinking that you can't wait for people to hear this hook. And you start building a song around it.
Mm-hmm.
And by the time you get done, the hook is unimportant because of everything else that happened.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Do you push things that much? Or?
Well, I mean, sometimes I'll just get an idea in my head. Like, we have a song called Living Dead. And I'm a fan of zombie movies, horror movies, all kinds of stuff like that. So I just got the idea in my head that I wanted a song where the hook was Living Dead, but have it not actually be about zombies. So somehow we found a way to make that work. I don't think we have that song on the list today,
we'll get it next time.
Yeah, it's stuff like that. I mean, it's whatever. Sometimes it'll be a chord progression, and we'll flesh it out with the rest of the members of the band, or it's a bass line, or sometimes I'll come to the table with a whole song almost completely written. It always ends up a lot different than how I bring it to the table, but it's a little bit of everything. There's definitely not a formula.
You know, you can't be too concrete in this business either. Like, I can write a song with the hooks and everything that I liked in it, and when I bring it to the table, over the next hour when we work on it, that song might become a totally different monster than ever envisioned. My hook mm-hmm. might even change.
Right.
But you have to always be open to that, because that's the beauty of being... If I just wanted to be a solo artist, I'd write everything I wrote.
Right.
But there's this kind of... compilation of ideas that come to play where it's like, well, everybody's take, their interpretation of what you brought to the field, that's what makes a good group. It's not one guy writing everything, it's the group writing everything. And, you know, I mean,
right,
playing it's off each other and things
the
like
chemistry
that.
Of the band other, yeah. is involved in the writing itself, which makes the music interesting and exciting, and it keeps it sounding fresh.
So everybody brings their own flavor to it.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
And that is Burning Tree.
That's exactly. Burning Tree.
Yeah, that's the great thing about music. For some reason, when you were talking, I was thinking about Roger Waters. Anybody know who Roger Waters is?
I always have to ask because I'm
an old guy.
Is it really? Has it gotten that bad that people don't know who Roger Waters
in some
is?
Circles.
Wow.
But ouch. You know, he was always a guy who had great ideas for songs, but he always needed the band to make it work.
Right.
Right.
You know, he didn't work too well on his own. He always had to have great musicians around him. I think that's a great thing about.
He did some great concerts on his own, though. I have to say.
He had the idea for showmanship, and he knew how to put on a good show, because that's what it was about.
Yeah.
Roger Waters fans at the table?
Yes. Oh, absolutely.
I just saw the wall here.
I mean,
we're all children of the
classic rock, southern rock you could think of. We all grew up listening to it one way or another, mm-hmm. along with all other kinds of music. So, I mean, we listen to everything. I don't like to confine myself to... This is what type of musician I am. This is what kind of music I listen to. A real musician can listen to anything and find something to like about it.
Oh, yeah.
Because at the end of the day, it's all music. The genre lines are almost non-existent anymore.
Yeah. I was always a big fan of Led Zeppelin. I loved Led Zeppelin.
Yeah, they cross a lot of lines.
I absolutely agree with what you just said, because that's one of my problems. I'm the music director right on there.
Right.
I'm the worst guy for the job.
How do you put a show together
I'm a musician. I can find something I like in just about any song I hear.
Right.
So, you know, I got things on and people are like, why are you playing that? I'm like, oh, cool.
Is this part in 30 seconds?
Yeah.
So I think with all musicians, you know, if you love music, it's in there. You're going to find something I like.
Right.
I want to play a song right now. You guys want to talk about Looking for a Reason?
This is a good one. Everybody loves this song.
Yeah, I mean, number
it's,
one.
It's not my favorite, but it's everybody else's favorite, so I guess it's my favorite.
I actually wrote this song when Mike fell off his longboard and shattered his arm. And we had been on hiatus for like 4 or 5 months. He didn't know if he was ever going to be able to play bass again. And I'd written the song while we were taking that break. And
my doctor literally told me that. He's like, I don't know if you're going to be able to play bass again. Yep. And I'm like, damn, Doc, can we go through the preliminaries first? Yeah. I just walk up into his office. He's like, never play a bass again. How you doing, Mike? It's like, damn, dude, it's a bummer. I'm
but
sorry,
yeah,
but
I mean,
it's a bummer.
That's when the song was written. I like the song. It has a good positive message. And it's definitely one of our most popular. It's definitely one of our most popular songs.
Who was it from Cricketers? That was an interesting story about that song.
Oh,
that
yeah.
Lisa.
We used to play at a place in Dunedin called Cricketers, and the person, her name was Lisa. She had breast cancer, and
I
believe it was breast cancer.
What was she? Mm-hmm. She was the owner of the
part owner.
Was she
I think.
Part owner? Okay.
But basically, you know, she told us that, like, this song like helped her make it through a lot of those days, which is huge. Like, that's the kind of stuff that like sends goosebumps down your spine.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's what it's all about when you reach someone.
It's all about making people feel something in the music. It's not. We're in a band to get chicks and all that kind of thing, but at the end of the day, you want to make something meaningful and interesting and something that you can be proud of.
And that's something a lot of people like about a lot of our music, too, is like a lot of people who are in bad moods can listen to our stuff and it will bring them out of it.
Right.
And, I mean, not to say that there's a lot of songs in there that you can't listen to when you're in a bad mood, you know, or in a good mood, or either way, you know, but it's like a little something that makes you feel good no matter where.
That shit's uplifting.
Yeah.
Yo, you know.
It's uplifting. The uplifting makes you want to move.
Heck yeah, man. It's got a lot of movement, too.
We are going to listen to Looking for Reason by Burning Tree.
That's a good idea.
We will be right back. Welcome back to Backstory. I am your guest host, I can't even say my own name. My name is Wacosta Loveless. You can call me Bob. Dawn will be back next week. I'm in the studio with Burning Tree, some great young guys. And I say young because, believe me, there will be a time when you want to hear that.
Oh, yeah.
You're no longer the old fart that, you know, people are like, hell yeah, he's still playing. God bless him. I can't, you know, we sort of touched on it in the last segment, but I wanted to talk more about your influences. Because, I mean, you know, I grabbed a list of your influences, and it's all over the place.
Right. Yeah.
Which, you know, actually makes sense for me with your music.
Right.
So, I mean, you want to guys go one at a time, talk about your
influence? Let's roll with Dave. Dave, you're the maestro.
Listen to everything under the sun. Lots of reggae, ska, all kinds of rock music. I really like the Foo Fighters a lot, even though that's mainstream rock. I really like the Foo Fighters. I listen to anything. I mean, my music collection is really diverse. You can find any genre of music, from soft, the softest thing you've heard to the heaviest thing you heard, so it's really hard for me to even name but a few.
So real eclectic, then.
Yes, really eclectic.
Punk rock. I listen to a lot of punk rock. Ska. It's what I grew up on. Loved it. I love hip-hop, too, though. And not like, you know, I got 20-inch wheels and bling hip-hop, but, like, hip-hop, some deep shit, like, some deep hip-hop. You know, I don't know. No, I don't like reggae, though. I don't like reggae because it's just tired and old and everybody does it. Sorry.
Right.
Sorry, Burning Tree. I don't know, man. I had a phase where I loved reggae when I was 12 years old, and I got over it, and that's where I'm at right now. Frank, what about you, buddy?
I'm mostly into, like, a lot of hip-hop, a lot of metal. It was actually metal that got me into playing the drums. I hadn't even considered reggae until, I think when I was 15, I got a phone call from a friend of a friend who wanted me to play drums in their band, and it just so happened that they were reggae. So that's, well, reggae influence anyways, but that's kind of what got me into reggae. But mostly I don't listen to a lot of reggae on my free time. It's mostly hip-hop and kind of experimental metal, kind of death metal stuff.
You know, Frank, I think I remember that band that you played reggae for.
I think you might recall, you know, that.
Thinking about it now, I didn't mention it, but I didn't even really listen to reggae or ska before I started playing in a band with these guys.
Oh, really?
I was listening to whatever, you know,
Static X, which is awesome.
Band of the day, rock music, whatever was popular, and a few, you know, not so popular rock bands, but just whatever. No ska, no reggae, no nothing. And now it's a big part of my
music. For some reason, when Frank was talking, I just thought, now Frank, as a drummer, do you have aggression problems?
Do I have what?
Aggression problems.
No, actually, I think that playing the drums is great anger management therapy. Yeah. I mean, it's
so most
it's
drummers
healthier,
I've ever met just had this sort of zen thing because they train.
Yeah, exactly. You know, it's almost therapeutic. I mean, getting behind and just beating the crap out of them, you know, it's therapeutic after a long day.
It's got to be.
Well, I pretty much grew up listening to a lot of classic rock originally, and then as I got older, started, you know, meeting different people who listened to different styles of music, and then got introduced to a lot of experimental stuff. I mean, most of it was like classic rock, and then grew on to, like, you know, heavier rock, you know, Nirvana, Metallica, started getting really big in Metallica until they cut all their hair off. And then
they lost something then.
it all just went downhill from there. But, I mean, that's what got me started listening to the heavier, you know, rock, and then, like, Slipknot. And then now, I mean, I listen to a lot of different death metal, but I also like jazz. I like a lot of Les Claypool stuff because he's got a lot of different genres and a lot of different talented musicians who come from different backgrounds that he just jams with. Oh, you know, they'll take a song in the studio that is like 3 minutes long. You see him live, and it's like 15, 20 minutes long.
Yeah, I'm a big Claypool fan for that very reason.
Oh, yeah. Right.
You never know where the guy's coming from.
Exactly.
Yeah. I love Claypool.
It's always different, man. Always different. But, I mean, I've always liked a huge mix because I like a lot of hip-hop that actually has – because there's a lot of hip-hop with instruments. You know, a full band behind them. There's an actual structure to it. It's not something that they
– not a loop.
They looped from some song from the 60s or 70s or whatever, you know, and just added a faster beat to it. I mean, some of it's still good, whatever, but – I mean,
he's a big fan of Django Reinhardt too.
Yeah, that's from Django was a phenomenal three-fingered guitar player. That guy was insane. It was insane.
So everything, kitchen sink, you name it.
Yeah,
it sounds like it, man. That's the one thing I like so much about you guys' music. You can hear it. You can hear all the different influences. And I'm so used to, you know, the bands nowadays. It's almost, I mean, even the bands that are just starting out, the bands that are just forming. Right. It's cookie cutter. It's like,
yeah,
what lane are we going to get in? Like, what genre? Let's just do everything we can to embody the genre.
Just sound like
these
guys.
Yeah, you know, when I was young, the worst thing you could do was sell out.
Right.
And people now are selling out before they even get started.
That's what I'm talking about.
A lot of people feel like it's the only way to get ahead, but, you know, the things are changing. There was a big, huge lull where only bands that signed big record deals went anywhere. And now with, you know, the way things are with the internet, that there's a lot of bands out there making it on their own, making way more money than they ever would on a big record deal.
Yeah.
So,
if you sell your own merchandise, for example.
Selling out isn't the best thing to do anymore as far as your career goes. Not
a lot of bands only make money off of their merchandise when they're touring. That's how they make their money.
Well, the Allman Brothers, perfect example. Mm-hmm. They have stated that they've never made money on their records.
Right. Mm-hmm. You know what I love is a lot of the big bands that have run the length of their record contracts where they had like 5 album deals or whatever, they're out doing their own thing now and making all the money for themselves.
They
worked themselves to death.
Record
company got them where they needed to be.
Yeah. And they worked themselves to death for years and probably didn't make as much money as they should have, and now they're sitting pretty.
Mm-hmm.
I think it comes down to the difference between having a career and trying to make a killing.
Yeah.
Right.
I think everybody wants to get, you know, the model that everybody expects is the guys who are at the top of the game who are making $25-30 million a year,
right,
zipping around in Learjets. And, you know, there's only a very small number of people who can make that.
Right. 1%.
But the internet makes it possible for people to make a living.
Definitely. Yeah. I mean, as a musician, you can make a living off of a meager fan base. I don't want to be a superstar. I don't want to be on MTV. I don't even know if I want to be on mainstream radio for the most part. I just want to be able to drop into any given city and play to 1,000 people and make enough money to live comfortably, and I'd be happy.
Is that because of the compromises you have to make to be in corporate radio?
What's that?
So is that because of the compromises you have to make to reach that level of success?
I don't know. I mean, we're a bunch of chuckleheads, but we have some integrity about the music that we want to make and the directions we want to go. We don't want anybody else's finger in what we're doing telling us to do one thing or another. The band needs to be the band.
Doing it on your own terms is
exactly
important.
Exactly. That's the only way we're ever going to be happy with what we're doing, you know?
So you're keeping it pure.
Right.
Yeah, it's amazing to me nowadays. That doesn't seem to be a priority for most musicians I've talked to.
It's, you know, it's the whatever you got to do to get ahead.
Yeah. I'm trying to remember who it was. I think it was Carlos Santana once said that he was in an interview and someone asked him what was the main difference between the old music and the new music or the time periods, actually. He said, you know, back in the 70s, people would ask me, how do I become a better guitar player? How do I become a better musician?
Right.
He's now people ask me, how do I be successful? How do I become a star?
Exactly. It's not about the music anymore. Music's been turned into a product, and the mainstream music industry is basically in the toilet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, the new music that's coming out nowadays, most of it's not even worth listening to. Even the bands that we used to like are making music that's just not any good anymore, as everybody's been turned into a product. We just listened to
Green Day.
Yeah. We just listened to part of the new Incubus album and part of the new 311 album on the way here, and I'm not a fan of either, and I used to love both of those bands.
Linkin Park as well.
I liked the first Linkin Park album.
I heard their newest one on the radio last night, and I was just like, man, really?
I am not a fan. I never was.
It happens so much. I mean, I see bands come out, and they'll have a spark, or they'll be doing something great, and then by their third album, that's gone, and it's all product.
Yeah.
Exactly. It's the record company gets a hold, and you know.
But do you think it becomes a situation where, you know, when you put out your first record, you know, you've written all these songs in a different environment, and by the time you reach your third or fourth record, you're a star, you're touring, you're making all this money and sleeping with all these women, and it's a completely different life. Do you think maybe that might be a component and changes your perception?
That's got to be part of it. And you know, bands, they just have to evolve. If you sound the same on every record, sooner or later, people are going to lose interest in what you're doing. But at the same time, you don't want to alienate the people who are your fans already. But that's been something that's been in the back of my mind. The difference between, like, you have your whole life to write your first album. Everybody's heard this before. Yeah. Any musician's heard this. Mm. You have your whole life to write your first album. And that sophomore effort's going to make or break you. I can't wait to get to the point where we can actually sit down and write an album instead of writing a bunch of songs and putting them together in a collection as an album. I'd like to sit down and write a real album like that sooner
or later.
Story. But I can see how that would have a big effect on
Yeah,
on the directions that bands go.
A lot of the people, when they're struggling, too, that gives you a lot of, you know, inspiration as well, too. And then once you get to the point where you're a superstar and you got
you don't have that pain and frustration.
Yeah, you don't have that muse anymore. You know? I mean, you have other muses if you decide to, like, you know, take it that way, I guess. Yeah, it all depends on your perspective.
Plus, I think when you become, like, a multi-platinum selling artist, there's a whole other set of pressures.
Yes, yeah. Definitely.
You're pressured to sell out. You're pressured to create the product.
To outdo the last one.
Yeah, exactly. Because you are peddling a product. Do you think maybe that the music industry may be changing to where the platinum records don't mean anything anymore?
They don't.
What's platinum nowadays? 200,000 units? I mean,
I don't know.
You know, how many downloads is platinum?
We went from, like, gold records being at a million to, like, gold records now or
100,000?
150,000, I think. I don't know.
I think gold's 100,000 and platinum's a million.
I mean, what?
But anyways,
where are we nowadays? Nobody's buying music.
You've totally distracted me from the question.
Well, I hear people all the time who are like superstars. You see them on television all the time. Then you go check out their numbers on Billboard, and they've sold like 300,000 copies. And I'm like, what?
Well,
this is a superstar
now?
Music nowadays, the music itself has become a marketing tool. The money is not going to be made off of music in the future. That's just not. It's ticket sales and T-shirts and just all kinds of merchandise and that kind of thing that's going to be making musicians money, because nobody wants to pay for music. The internet has revolutionized, changed everything about the music industry.
I know there are people out there who would buy a Burning Tree bobblehead.
Right.
Burning Tree calendars.
But, I mean, we just assume if someone doesn't have money to buy our music, we just assume give it away because we would rather them have the music than, you know, I mean – It just doesn't make any sense to be that caught up in selling the music, because that's not where the money's at. Really not where the money's at.
Live appearances, T-shirts, but give the music away. I steal music all the time.
Right.
Unapologetically. I did too. And it's like, how am I going to say kid, 13, 14, 15-year-old kid who has no money other than what his parents gave him to buy some waters at the bar?
Just come to our show and get your allowance.
Give me $10 for the music you love. No, dude. Take the music you love. It's yours. Love it.
Don't get us wrong. We sell CDs. We're on iTunes and Amazon MP3 and all that.
We would like to sell the music.
Yeah, we would like to sell the music.
If you're going to buy a CD, just buy a T-shirt and steal the music from somebody else.
Well, the culture has changed.
What's that?
The culture has changed.
Yeah.
The market has changed.
Definitely.
Well, if you guys don't mind, I think we're going to play a little bit more music.
Cool.
We'll play a couple in a row here.
Sure. Go for it.
I think what we're going to play together is Something New and Greed. Do you want to talk about these at all?
Something New is one of that's one of my favorites.
Yeah, on that CD. Yeah.
They're both.
I mean, in general, it's a great song. It's high paced.
It's highly spaced.
There's a lot of space.
Mike is highly spaced. Right.
It's high paced, and it's got that kind of head bobbing thing that I like. And I play a jazz bass line on it, which is cool.
Yeah. So yeah, Something New and Greed are. Two also very popular songs off our EP. Great songs. Something New, I don't know.
There's an intro to Greed. That's what we could talk about.
Sure.
About to mention that.
Yeah, there's like kind of an intro. I actually recorded that intro for Greed using my laptop and the monitor apps on my TV. I plugged it right into my laptop and just hit record on some DAW, some digital audio work software that I had, and recorded a bunch of news stories, hours of it, and then pieced it together into that intro, which is cool because I never watched that much news. And
also used the Beastie Boys infomercial.
I did. There was Beastie Boys infomercial in
there's,
there.
There's Vince from Scam Wow, 1995.
So, don't say that too loud. He might sue us.
Yeah, exactly. We're basically making a live list of people who should be suing us.
Whoops.
It was interesting to watch the news that long, though, because 24-hour news network people, I don't know if anybody else out there knows that, are insane. They're crazy.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, can you blame them, though? It's like you put them in front of a – Well, I'm rambling. Anyways.
Yeah, let them play the song.
Well, the songs are great.
Before the guys incriminate themselves or get any lawsuits going, we're going to play a block by Burning Tree, Something New, followed by Greed. We'll be right back.
Sweet. Cool. We'll be right back.
tears directed at me. I had no idea what I did. I was on so asking. She said, I'm not gonna turn around. You've got something new to whine about. I don't have time for your nonsense. And since the day I met you, I've been trying to tell you. You just don't listen. And now it's too late. Change. It's just too late to change. I tried, Lord knows I tried everything under the sun I could to make it right. But she's the one tripping, it's a matter of fact. One day she'll come begging, but I won't come back. No, I'm gonna turn around. She gave me another reason to leave, but I couldn't see that underneath it all, she was a one to play. It's a shame how far she had me playing her game. Change.
Mike, you can't put car wash on a perishable.
Dow falling almost 1.5% today.
A lot of people piling into what we call the fear trade. They bought gold. They bought...
Ending with some of the worst losses ever.
From 1995, the most irresponsible monetary...
Get money for debt consolidation. Maybe a way to make this crisis even worse.
Living in a world controlled by greed. What people do for money, it's so obscene. Your morals, lose or lose, which will it be? Whoa, when your rent's due yesterday, the landlord's beating down your door. No, no matter what you say, that's your views that excuse me for living in a world controlled by greed. They're gonna try to keep us down. Forgot their morals. It all comes back. Just wait and see. Whoa, when your rent's due yesterday, the landlord's beating down your door. No matter what you say, that's your views and excuse people.
Welcome back to Backstory. I am Acosta Lovelace. I'm guest host today. Dawn Lawrence is off playing around with her band. I hope she's having a great time and kicking ass and taking names. Dawn, if you listen, get back to work. We are in the studio with Burning Tree.
What's up? Mm-hmm.
What's up?
What's happening?
We are these guys have beginning to get some nice headway going. I want to talk a little bit about what you're doing so far. Well, how did the Vans Warped Tour come about?
That was basically they have a competition. You sign up through their website to play at whatever the local Warped Tour show is in your town. We signed up, put up the bio, picture, music, and all that, and it was based on votes. And then whoever got the most votes, they had a panel of judges pick out of like the top 10. We didn't really have many votes at all, and they still picked us. And it was a good opportunity, to just be thrown on Warped Tour like that. It was awesome. It was a good show. Mm-hmm.
A lot of bands will market themselves and say, hey, come to this page and vote for us. Usually when those bands are doing that, we're probably on whoever's couch, drinking some beer, smoking something else, watching TV, being counterproductive.
Kind of like right now.
No, it means a lot that the judges pick you.
Yeah,
or in spite of them or something. They obviously see what everybody else is seeing.
We've definitely got a lot of positive feedback about our music. I've people who dislike us, our music, few and far between. We never really hear much bad about us.
Not many haters.
Yeah.
And we had a few try to get in, but we wouldn't let them.
Oh yeah.
So we won't hear none of that here.
You tell Buck Nasty to stay outside.
Well, how about the 7-Eleven? Is it the Slurpees National Battle of the Bands?
Yeah, that was so cool.
Pretty much the same deal. I saw an ad on Facebook that said, "Sign your band up for 7-Eleven Battle of the Bands," and I gave them a bio, a picture, a few songs, and within a week, someone was calling me, leaving me a voicemail saying, you know, your plane tickets are taken care of. You're staying at the W in Washington Square. You're playing at the Fillmore
Union,
at Irving
Union
Plaza.
Union Square.
Oh, Union Square. But you're playing at the Fillmore at Irving Plaza, opening for NERD, which, you know, not one of our favorite bands, but the singer's Pharrell, which
still,
is a huge producer.
Yeah.
So it was pretty cool. all expenses paid, and got to bump elbows with, you know, the famous and...
The cool thing about that, though, we got done playing that show, and there was a lot of people there. I mean, the crowd reception was okay.
Yeah,
and then me and Mark took our merchandise. We went up to the front of the crowd and just like, "You guys want some free shit?" And
we just started
tossing stuff out to them. Yeah. They reacted better for me and Mark giving them stuff away.
Yeah, we were hitting them in the faces with CDs.
Oh, that was awesome, wasn't it? Just like flinging stuff at people.
I actually
anybody out there who was at that show listening,
yeah,
we apologize.
I actually killed the disk drive in my laptop burning CDs for that show.
Yeah.
I burned like so many of them that we stuffed them in these burning tree bags that we got from free.
Yeah.
And we just throwing them into the crowd. We had them all ready to go as soon as we were done playing. And then, a lot of those people got those CDs, man. A lot of them kept them and really liked it and still talked to us. We actually, a few of them met us when we were on tour in New Jersey.
Yep.
Got some footage while we were playing.
Yeah,
and
a little interview type thing.
Yeah, a little interview. It was pretty cool.
Yep.
We're looking
Mark,
forward
what's
to
up,
getting
dudes? Mark literally bought like a spindle of CDs and just rapid fired.
Yeah.
Burn.
Put the website and the name. That was it.
You got, like 3/4 of the way through that spindle?
Yeah. And they were all, I already written Burning Tree and Burning Tree Live on all the CDs and was just like ready to just keep sticking them in there, and all of a sudden it died.
Yep.
For the next month, every time Mark picked up a CD, he'd be like, "Oh, this is a Burning Tree." It was blank.
There's nothing on it. But damn.
I think that's the kind of thing that really, you know, we were talking about having to go about it different ways now, because you're not going to make the money from the music anymore.
Right.
I think stuff like that really appeals to people because, you know, they're so used to everybody scrambling for the buck.
And everyone likes free stuff, too.
Yeah.
Yep.
It gives them, you know, it's starting off on a good note. It's like,
it's,
you know, here's some music, like buy our music. Here's some music. So you instantly have a connection with those people.
Yeah, you create goodwill.
Right.
Well, we're, God, I mean, I'm just looking at the list of guys you've shared stages with. Let me see if I can look through and see some of the most notable ones, the ones that jump out at me. How about, you want to talk about any of these guys, like the Expendables or Supervillains?
I want to talk about Pacifier.
Pacifier?
Pacifier, for people who don't know Pacifier.
Check them out.
They're kind of like a reggae, kind of rock group. Hell, if you guys are going to play a song, I mean, I guess you can't, but I'd say play a Pacifier song and play one of ours.
Nice.
They're great, though. They're a great band. We love them. They're one of the few reggae acts in this new school reggae movement that's going on that we actually respect.
Yeah, they're more into rock as well. You know?
Exactly.
It's like, but they switched up, too.
The creativity that this band puts forth is amazing, so we love them.
But yeah, we've played with a good handful of the people who are big in our genre of music.
Soulja.
Soulja's of Ja Army is huge nowadays.
Oh, you know, I kind of want to do a side note about Soulja, too, say a little something about them. I'm not a big fan of reggae at all. I don't like reggae. Soldiers of Ja Army, the members of that band were the coolest people I've ever met.
Yeah, they're really nice dudes.
Yeah,
they were just
Pinto
really
too.
Great guys.
Cool.
Mike Pinto is another example of just
he's
a guy who's out there killing it and is really down to earth and just really cool.
We ran into him in Philly when we were on the road, and he actually remembered, well, pretty much remembered.
He remembered us. He remembered the band. He remembered me by name.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool. Yeah, we've had an opportunity to play with a lot of cool bands. We got a chance to play with Less Than Jake right around the corner from here, a big block party, which was a big band that Mike was into back in the day.
I used to love Less Than Jake. They're my favorite.
Loved Less Than Jake. But, we've had some cool opportunities.
Time.
It's awesome to get to, meet and, you know, rub elbows with the bands you grew up listening to and things like that. And the bands that you're into currently. It's awesome.
Yeah. And then play on the same stages that you grew up watching shows on.
Yeah.
You know, I see Meet Me at the Pub on this list. I just want to put out that those guys were really cool, too.
Yeah.
They're from
California.
California, yeah.
They're from California. And they were pretty cool guys, too. Yeah. The drummer was the brother of Anthony Sullivan.
Yeah. The pitch man.
Yeah. The guy opposite of Billy Mays.
We did shots of whiskey.
So we got to party at the after party with Anthony Sullivan, who was a really cool dude as well. Down to earth, let's do shots. This funny guy. Anthony Sullivan, very cool.
He did an absolutely horrible rendition of Bad Fish.
It was awesome.
Yeah, he did.
At the pub at Janice Landing.
He owned it, though. He owned it. As much as
he had a Are You a Mod or a Rocker t-shirt on. That was awesome.
Well, generally speaking, are you, and this is one of the kind of the weird questions, and I like to ask weird questions.
We love weird questions.
Do you think that the guys that you expect are going to be assholes turn out to be the nicest guys, and the guys you think are going to be nice turn out to be the assholes?
Sometimes you never know.
I kind of go into every situation where everybody's going to be cool, and I judge them from there. But I mean, I kind of catch the vibe from there because I mean, at the end of the day, we're all doing the same thing. Yeah. We're all riding the same dream. So most of the time, most bands that you meet, they're really cool. People are cool. There are some bands out there who are a little too much up their own asses.
Yep.
That I didn't know if I could say it on internet radio.
Just not the F word.
No F bombs.
But most of the people out there doing what we're doing are really cool. Really down to earth people. Cool guys.
Cool. We've been jabbering on, and I love it. I want to squeeze in a little more music, though. You guys brought in a song today.
We did. This is the song's called "I." We recorded this in Lexington, Kentucky,
in a basement,
a guitar studio. Player from a really awesome band, actually, and they were really accommodating to us. Yeah. And they were very cool. Cooked us food.
Stay in their basement, and the guy had a home studio, Pro Tools, all that, and we set up and we tracked this song live in his studio in his basement.
We didn't have time to separately track everything, so this is like a live, raw,
off the cuff in the studio. The song wasn't even finished when we did it. This is unreleased. You can't find this anywhere on the internet. This is the first time we've.
This is an exclusive for Rhino on the Air.
Very leaking it on the Rhino.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to play I now. This is a Burning Tree exclusive.
Bend this way.
Welcome back to Backstory. I am Mikasa Loveless. I'm guest hosting today for Dawn Lawrence. She's out playing around. And I mean that in a good way. We're in the studio with Burning Tree.
What's up?
Kind of in this segment, I want to kind of talk about where you guys are headed from here. I mean, you have anything cooking?
Yeah, Dave.
Well, we just got back from the road. We did about 2 months far west of St. Louis, as far north as New York. We're home now. We're concentrating on the southeast, mostly playing around Florida for now. But, you know, sky's the limit. We're looking to get back into the studio and record another album or EP. And, you know, sooner or later, you know, head out west, make our way over to California and whatnot.
Are you getting good momentum so far?
So far, so good. I mean, we've been playing music for a long time. And this is one of the things I think makes our band good, too. We've been playing music for a really long time. And we're just now starting to take it seriously. And like the past year.
That's good to hear, right?
So there's so much chemistry and good music already written. It's just like, it's not like we're starting off the cuff and recording 3 months out of being a band. Like,
yeah.
So I think we had a good starting point. We kind of hit the ground running when we started taking this seriously.
We had a long developmental period.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty much.
The gestation period for Burning Tree was ridiculous.
So you're going from point A to point B. It's time to go to point C, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Or D.
Just, you know, basically we're just going to go where it takes us and be proactive as we can to take ourselves to the next level.
Well, do you have an overall plan, or are you just kind of winging it? I mean, both have their definite advantages.
Our chalkboard's and then we get the women. That gets used a lot as well.
Yeah. It's just, you can't really have a set in stone plan.
Life changes.
You know, it's organic. It's got to be organic. You got to roll with the punches.
Most of the bands that have that plan are those bands that are just designing themselves for fame.
Right, to the product. Mm.
Exactly.
Practicing in front of a mirror. But,
so it's a marketing plan.
Yeah, we've been talking with Mr. Eddie Ray over here, and he's been doing some things for us. He's hooked us up with this interview. Thank you very much. And he's hooked us up with a handful of shows here. So, you know, big things may be in the future between us and Eddie Ray of Palace Music Group.
Well, speaking of the mighty Eddie Ray, Eddie is in the studio. What has he got? You got anything to say, brother?
How you doing, Costa? Hey, guys, how you doing?
Excellent.
Yeah, it's going real well. You know, when I first heard these guys, you know, I'm an A&R rep for Palace Music Group, and I have a production company, Eddie Ray Productions, www.facebook.com/EREY10. So you see what we do. And, you know, I've been getting a lot of clients, and I'm trying to scale back now because this business is picking up. I picked up a great young guy working with me, Jason. He's going to be assisting me now. And we're spreading out the area. So basically what I've got planned for Burning Tree right now is to get him out of this area as quickly as possible and start getting him more towards the Florida tour type of thing and setting up on that kind of gig. So I've got some record people I'm talking to about him. Studio stuff that we can do. We need to get another CD out with these guys. And there's a lot of stuff that I got planned for him to do. I like working with them because I like the fact that they're not a sellout. I don't want to work with people that say mold me and make me what you want.
That's right, Eddie. We don't sell out.
Yeah, I want to work with people that say this is what we are. What can you do for me? So I've had a lot of good things planned for these guys, and we're just getting started, man. We're just getting started. So the stuff is really good. Everybody that I've taken the music to, approached them with, has had nothing but positive reaction to the music, so I'm looking forward to it. These guys got a ways to go, but if they play their cards right, I think they can get somewhere, and they just need a little bit of direction, you know.
Very cool. Said it better myself.
Amen, brother.
That was a mighty Eddie Ray. We are running out of time, believe it or not, fellas.
Oh wow, that's fast.
I'm gonna go out with a couple of songs. What You Need and New Surf.
Yes, sir.
Anything you guys want to say about these? I think we're actually going to play What You Need. We might run out of time. We might not be able to get in New Surf.
That's a good idea. I love New Surf, but...
Yeah, it's a sloppy live track, but it still sounds good. I'm sure it
sounds great.
What about What You Need? Is there any special meaning to this song?
Actually, there's a funny story behind that, too. Dave wrote this song, the lyrics to it, he had no specific meaning, and I sat down with him one day. I'm like, dude, it's totally about being in a band and getting famous. And we dissected the lyrics, and without really intending it, Dave's like, "Damn, actually, you're right about that."
Yeah, I kind of wrote the song with kind of the Black Hole Sun type approach, where it doesn't really mean anything in the first place. It's just something I liked the way it sounded, and the meaning came afterwards after the song was written.
That has a great feel to it. I appreciate you fellas coming in today.
Thanks for talking to you, man. Thank you so much for having us.
I hope we can do it again sometime.
Come back anytime you guys want.
BurningTreeLive.com. You can check out everything we have on the internet.
We have nothing to do in the afternoons.
Yeah.
We're going to put up some links for Burning Tree, so check on RhinoOnAir.com. You will find all the links you need to find more about these guys. I highly recommend Burning Tree. We're gonna close out with What You Need by Burning Tree.
Sweet.
Nice.
Take it slow, you got stars in your eyes. Everyone knows the colors are bright and the sound is divine. Your head is swimming and you're feeling just fine. Understand that it's okay. In fact, it's the only way. So free your mind, don't hesitate. No time to waste. So stay out of our way. We're leaving you feeling with your head in the head. You can't contact God just for you. What you want, what you need, what you need.